Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Now,
ta-da! I'm living proof, baby. Miracles happen.
How about that?
You laugh, Alan, but Google's bailed me out of a lot of things. I'm telling you, I had muscle cramps. It said eat walnuts, almonds, and bananas. I've been eating them like crazy. No cramps! Who needs doctors when you got Google?
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
That's just my opinion. Don't take that advice to the bank. Welcome to the RP Show, everybody. It is episode number 403.
I'm surprised.
What?
We haven't had some health professional or nutritionist.
I know. They know that I'm not to be listened to. You understand that.
It's great advice.
There should be a disclaimer up at the start of every show. Don't listen to the host. Don't try this at home.
Yeah.
RP here and Darren Moose DuPont there. And I have to point something out before we go any further. Two things. One, please go to the bottom of your screen and click share for all your Facebook friends. If you really love the show, we're not charging you to watch. If you could do us a favor, go down and click share or retweet on the Twitter, whatever you need to do. And two, Biznasty referred to you as my sidekick.
Yeah.
I think Rod Black has done similar. He's more than just a sidekick. He owns the show. I want to put that out for you.
Appreciate that. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Does it bother you that people think you're just the Ed McMahon?
No, it doesn't. I enjoy it. But you're right. It's the business side that I really love,
right?
You know, doing that stuff.
To the point of you thought of giving up this role.
Well, and that's kind of, it's nobody's noticed, but you know, as the interviews happen, I ask less questions. I'm just slowly, you know, lengthening the rope.
Yeah.
Until maybe I don't even have to sit here anymore.
I wouldn't like that.
I know you wouldn't.
Don McNeil writes in, good day from Central Ontario, home of the Bradford Carrot Festival. Put that on the list.
The Chicken Cherry Races in Wynyard, the Bradford Carrot Festival.
And the Cornhole Championships in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee.
Okay.
We'll go down there with Chris Jones.
We're going to do the State Fair Tour.
Katie, maybe we'll play some football. Katie Fleury writes in, it's RP and DD. Perfect combo. I agree. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, so coming up on the program today, longtime friend of mine, Stevie Bags. I'm looking forward to that. The star of season 3 of Cobra Kai. And I'll tell Stevie this, but I'm going to tell you this. We haven't got to his episode yet in season 3, so it's late.
Me either.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was on the phone with my brother last night, the cowboy, who's probably watching right now, and he's like, how far into Yellowstone are you? And I said, season 1, episode 8? And he's like, well, you got a long ways to go then. And I said, good. I don't want to binge this thing.
Yeah.
I want Cobra Kai to stretch it out real good. Yellowstone, same thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, Stevie Bags, the former CFLer, NFLer, and also, he's not the star of season 3 of Cobra Kai, but he makes a cameo, so he's going to be with us. Just one more from a viewer. Katie says, Rod, did you see the picture I shared to the page today? I did not. Did you see Katie's photo?
No.
I did not.
Well, look.
Katie is a health professional here in the Queen City and a Golden Knights fan, but I did not see the photo, Katie. I apologize. But anyways, Jordan's fingers hovering over the Quick Six Show Topics button. So hit it, Jordan, please. Hit it. Thank you. So along with Stevie Bags Jr. on the program, we've got Jermaine Franklin coming on the program today. TSN anchor, big-time friend, and a fan of the show from day one. Big supporter of it. So that's coming up. So number one, are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Number one. NHL leftovers from Monday night. And I was thinking about this. We've got viewers all across the country, and as we all know, 31 states. So a quick rapid fire on all the teams. Where are we going to start? The Toronto Maple Leafs. What a letdown that game was. A 3-1 win over the Winnipeg Jets. Just in that it wasn't a good game. Did you see Ray Ferraro in the first intermission with Sarah Orlesky?
Yeah.
He was like, she was like, what did you think of the first period, Ray? Not much. It just wasn't a good game. But the Leafs won. I said they're cocky in my tweet, and it sent Leaf fans like Clark over the edge. Have you not figured me out yet, Clark? I did it to get a rise out of you people. You people! It worked. He hasn't figured me out yet. 403 shows in. The Jets disappointing. It was a disappointing showing last night. Tells you what Patrick Laine means to the team. I'm telling you, he's the best player on the team. He's the MVP. Give him what he wants. These are just my takes, so hang on. Ottawa didn't play last night, but they got the Jets tonight. So we're going to find out a lot about the Ottawa Senators tonight. The Montreal Canadiens won in Edmonton. I can't remember what the final was. It doesn't matter. What doesn't matter? You can't judge your team based on what they do against the Edmonton Oilers because everybody beats them. Vancouver humiliated the Oilers on opening night, and they thought they were something.
Yeah,
they haven't won since. So don't use the Edmonton Oilers as a barometer for how your team's doing. So Vancouver struggled with the Calgary Flames. Those teams already hate each other. You had Vancouver's number one. I had to remind you guys in the morning meeting, we're not even a week into the regular season. Okay? Not even a week. Now, there's a lot of overreaction out there, and that's cool. What are we learning? We're learning a lot, but we haven't concluded anything. Moving across the country, Flames looking good. Johnny Gaudreau is playing inspired hockey. The Flames look great. The Oilers, whatever the stage is, past panic, that's where they're at. They're bad. And it's brought up the poll question today for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center. The question is, will Connor McDavid ask for a trade? Yes, no, or the third option is, he should. That was Darren's idea. Wow, 60%+ are saying no?
Yeah.
Wow.
I would think that the majority would lean towards he should. Yeah. I don't think he will. I really don't. But he probably should if he wants to get out and win. It depends. At what point do you get frustrated? And it feels like more and more and more and more and more, the younger the generation gets, right? The older we get, the shorter the fuse is for players, right? The quicker they'll get frustrated. They won't have as much of a leash. So I don't know. It's not good right now.
I wanted to put a little more time into it than just banging yes or no or the third option. And I haven't voted yet. I haven't decided. If I was him, I would want out. Viewer William May says, leave the Oilers alone, you big bully. Oh, I think the Oilers are big enough, boys. They can handle it. Joe Lazito, watching on Long Island, where the Islanders are 2-1 to start the season. He says, don't the Leafs always win the cup in the first month of the season? I know. Bring it, bring it, bring it. These guys need it. Dupes and Clark. but like I said yesterday, you guys got the Leafs covered in Eastern Canada. I got the West covered as far as I'm concerned with the Western teams. And then the Golden Knights. Can I just say this? They were down 2-0 late in the second period last night. Here's the difference between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Edmonton Oilers. If the Oilers are down 2-0 at any point in the first 40 minutes of the game, it's over. You can go home. Start the car, Martha! The Golden Knights, it's like, okay, when are they going to turn it on? And then they do, and they win. And that's not a very good indictment for the Edmonton Oilers, is it?
No, it's not.
You get down, and it's over.
Yeah. It's tough. That's a tough spot to be in. You know, in Vegas, at least you know it's there. So there's always confidence you can come back. I mean, they outshot Arizona 13-5 in the third period. And between the end of the period and moving on, got all four goals. I mean, there's a team that if they put 60 minutes together, are a scary hockey team in Vegas. They say the best team on paper they've ever had. So they continue to get better. Crazy.
Here's the thing, though, and I wanted to bring this up with Lawless yesterday. I didn't. But here's where the sucky place that the Golden Knights are in. And I've been there with the Rough Riders, not as much with the Pats. But when your goal is Stanley Cup or bust and you legitimately think you're going to win it, that 82-game runway or the 56-game runway just seems torturously long. Right? It's like, what do we do? With 3-0, who cares? Because if we're not skating around with a cup at the end of it all, it's a failure. Right? You're just so impatient. You're not learning anything. You already know you're good.
Yeah.
What are they learning? That they need to play 60 minutes. Oh, duh. We know that. They know that, but they don't have to. And that's scary. When you're so good that you know you can just turn it on and win, that's scary.
It is scary. Yeah, it is.
Just because you get into, because when you do face adversity, then you panic.
Well, and now you're sitting there trying not to mess it up. So you're trying not to fail as opposed to trying to just keep putting the foot on the gas pedal. So you're sitting there, okay, well, if we're going to get there, got to make sure everybody's healthy, got to make sure these goaltenders are happy. So you're doing all these things throughout the season and you're, yeah, it's, it's going to be a long year in Vegas for all the right reasons, but it's going to be a long year.
Trent in Norway, do you fellows have the comment? Thanks for enlarging that for me. Norway calling. It's from Trent. I don't think McDavid will ask for a trade right now, but the Oilers must get a better supporting cast around him sooner than later. Line A will need the same thing with the Jets. If the Leafs ignore the media and their supporting cast comes around, maybe the parade plans are worth it. Stay well, everyone. Thank you, Trent in Norway, with your 2 cents, where it is currently 5:10 p.m. Enjoy your lutefisk and krumkaka for supper, if that's how you say it. Incidentally, I can sit and talk about the NHL all day and night, just so you know. Tonight, point two, Tuesday in the National Hockey League, there are 8 games. The highlight for me is Winnipeg at Ottawa. Your Leafs are off.
Yeah.
But I'm just enjoying my NHL center ice, just sitting there, bink, 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 going through the channels. Thank you, Access.
It is so awesome.
Yeah.
And
I never had it till this year.
I watched the game on the watch the Leafs game on the TV, and then I crawled into bed kind of early, but I got a little, you know, one of the Google devices, a little screen, a hub on my nightstand. It's my alarm clock. But I can just, from my phone, send the game right there and watch. I watched the Flames and the Canucks a little bit and a little bit of the Golden Knights as I kind of wound down and then went to bed. Like, it is perfect that hockey's back.
It is deadly, schmedly,
yes.
Said Fredly from Sedley. From Todd. Typical Edmonton. Wrecking the careers of young players and not realizing what areas of the team they need to address to help the Stars become a dynasty team. Two words, Jordan Eberle. How happy is he to be out of Edmonton? It's written all over his face. Moving on, point three, Brady versus Rogers. Rogers versus Brady. NFC Championship game this weekend. You pointed it out yesterday. Green Bay is favored by 4. Do you expect that line to change over the week?
No, maybe to 3.5, but it won't really change significantly. I think that's pretty appropriate. So I think it's all about if it'll come down if too many bets come in on Tampa and it becomes so disproportionate that everybody thinks that it's such a steal for Tampa, then it'll come down a little bit. But it won't, I don't think. I think Green Bay, that's who I'm going to pick on the betting line. I like them. I do. But I don't like, it's supposed to be, again, snow, cold,
yeah.
But just below 0 Celsius and snow. So it's going to be picturesque. But let's not forget that this is Tampa coming into Lambeau, but Tom Brady's played his whole career in bad weather, his whole career in Boston, right, where it's cold and this type of weather. So that's not going to be a shock to him.
It might be a relief to get out of the heat.
Absolutely. So, and for Antonio Brown, those guys, he played in Pittsburgh. Like, it's not going to be a huge home field advantage for Green Bay, but it's going to be so much fun to watch. It will be. It'll be a lot of fun.
That's the first of a doubleheader on Sunday, the conference championship games. And I'm realizing I'm watching less NFL Network right now. Why is that? Oh, the NHL's back. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So it tells you how these leagues fight for your attention. Again, not watching as much NFL Network. I used to have it on 24/7. Now I'm watching NHL Center Ice. Point four, Patrick Mahomes' status for the AFC Championship game. They got the Bills. KC's favored by 3. That line will be affected mightily depending on Mahomes' status, but he's playing, right?
He should.
Do you think?
He'll play. He'll play. I think even if he is in concussion protocol, he can play after 5 days anyways to get back onto the field. But he seems to be okay. So I would think it would take something really crazy for him not to play.
This is the warm-up, by the way, for the Four Seasons Sports Palace. Come in and warm up at the Four Seasons, your home for the NFL. Stevie Baggs from Cobra Kai, NFL, CFL alum, joining us in Block 2. We still have time in this segment. I'm just mentioning the sponsor there, and Don McNeil in Central Ontario is watching. He says, no one gets used to playing in the cold ever. No advantage. I do agree with that, but he's a Houston Texans fan, and maybe we can put this to Stevie Baggs. My point here, and I want yours, how about all these star players wanting out from where they are? Deshaun Watson, the latest with the Houston Texans. Like, it's gone so far that it looks like there's no way he can stay. So they're going to have to trade their cornerstone player because he's unhappy with the direction of the franchise. It's not new. Look at James Harden. Throws a fit, gets his trade, goes to the Brooklyn Nets, and now they're an NBA championship contender. Look at Leonard Fournette, Jalen Ramsey, who wanted out of Jacksonville. What about the 52 other guys that don't? You know, at what point do we say, no, deal with it? You're already making millions. You're playing a game that you would play for free. Deal with it. Or do these players have a right? Look, I come from the old school. I talk about it with the people my age that have been through sports and media, and we're like, maybe we had it wrong, man. Putting up with all the crap. Putting up with crap from people that we don't respect or like because we know that they're wrong. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. The just deal with it crowd, which is us, we'll just put up with it. Maybe we're the idiots.
We call it integrity, right? And we call it, you know, loyalty. But it's a changing world. It's all about who has the power now, right? And with social media and the world, you know, the players have more of a voice than they've ever had. They have more power than they've ever had, right? And that's a good thing for the players, and I like it. And, you know, the world is smaller than it's ever been, so traveling is so much easier, trades are so much easier, communicating. It used to be that you wouldn't know what was out there, right? I mean, if you weren't a GM or you weren't an agent, you had no impact on making trades or making moves, right? But now, you know, you got players that are just communicating with each other, right? Communicating with other agents. Like the world is so much smaller and the communication so much easier that they can kind of pull the strings and know what strings need to be pulled, right? It used to be just for the business guys. Players have that power now. So it's a little bit wild, but hey, if he wants out, he wants out. Houston is doing some things to try and repair the relationship. Like, it looks like they're going to hire Eric Bieniemy out of Kansas City, or they want to, which is the guy that Deshaun Watson wanted them to hire. But I don't know if it's beyond repair or not. It might be.
That's the whole topic of the tail wagging the dog, the inmates running the asylum. And Don in Central Ontario watching got me thinking about that. Nugsy says, players are the brand, especially in football and basketball. Teams aren't the brand. That's the bottom line. Stone Cold said so. Colin in Ottawa says, Deshaun Watson's coming to my Jets. I'm so excited. We only won two games. Now, he's not there yet. So you got to get the speculation and so forth. I get it. But Stevie Bags has just logged in and he's going to join us after the break. And Stevie, here's my point. I want you to think about this in the break. What about the players wanting out? I just mentioned several of them. Deshaun Watson, James Harden, Leonard Fournette, Jalen Ramsey. Do they have a point or should they be forced to knuckle under and put up with the conditions? We did that in my generation, but I'm starting to think maybe we're the idiots for putting up with this, right?
Yeah.
And point five, should Charleston Hughes take a pay cut? Another topic, by the way, that's going to take more time than we have right now. And the Raptors won last night. They've won three in a row. We got to start getting used to these new guys. That's all that it is. You know that, right?
Yep.
Kawhi Leonard's gone. Serge Ibaka's gone. Who was the third?
Gasol.
Marc Gasol's gone. So Stanley, who is he?
I know.
Williams, I think. We just got to get used to these new guys. That's it. Stanley Johnson, thank you. Who are these guys in the Raptors jerseys? But they're starting to win again.
Yeah.
But at least we won a championship.
Yeah.
Stevie Bags joins us next. The star of season three of Cobra Kai. Strike first. Strike hard. No mercy. Hey.
I love it.
You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus Television. Now live daily on YouTube. And listen live for Sud's Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Hey, honey. Can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. So, okay, Clark was just saying that Stevie Bags walked away, but he just came back. I'm just going to read his Wikipedia for a second. Stevie and I go back a long ways, but in case you don't know, you would know him from season three of Cobra Kai. But look at this. NFL, CFL alum with the Detroit Lions, Jacksonville Jaguars, Blue Bombers, Eskimos, Rough Riders, Orlando Predators, Arizona Cardinals, Hamilton Tiger Cats, Baltimore Ravens, and Calgary Stampeders. I love that his Wikipedia starts off with, he's an actor, plus inspirational speaker, as we know. and author of books Greater Than the Game and Woke. So there he is, my man, Stevie Bags, joining us today. He's a Southern, South Florida product. Where are you joining us from today, Stevie?
ATL, Atlanta.
Oh,
I'm on the Pod Readerson show.
You've been in the hub. You've been in the hub of the South for a while, right? Atlanta. You've been hanging your hat there for a while.
Yeah. Born and raised in South Florida, but I've been here since 2006.
Okay. So listen, I got something for you. I was so excited when I saw that you're on Cobra Kai. And Stevie and I, as I mentioned, we go back a long ways, 08 here in Saskatchewan. This is what I realized. For people that don't like you, Stevie, it's because they're jealous. You probably know that, but I think I know why. You're reasonably good looking, very talented, and a grinder, and a hard worker, NFL caliber talent, man. I mean, you're a survivor, and you're just grinding, and I love it. And life seems to be very good for you.
Well, you know, Rod, I'm thankful. I'm grateful, always have been. But at the end of the day, I've learned that people's opinion of you is none of our business. The only thing that you can control is what you can control. And that's how hard you work. I say hard work because there's a difference between hard work and hard work. And that's the only thing you can control. And so, man, it's funny because I just had a conversation with Pinball the other day. Yeah. One of my mentees down here in Atlanta, they're looking to sign this guy, and I vouched for him. And it was just a tremendous conversation because I see the light that he brings, right? Everybody can see it. If you know Pinball, he's just this vibrant guy, bunch of energy. But the one thing that resonated with me that he said was that, Stevie, you know, we have to continue to make our dash count. And that's the one thing that I'm very, very happy to be able to do is to transition from football, athletics, arts, entertainment, but more importantly, make my dash count by helping people change the way that they think, Rod. And you don't have to think like me. I just want you to think like me. I decided to think. That's what changed my life.
You think big. And like you say, but people talk noise. They talk noise about me. They talk noise about you. And once you realize it's just noise and it doesn't matter, that's when the fun begins. But let's be honest, Stevie, with you in 08 with the Riders, we've talked about this before. I got you on the post-game show from BC Place. The Riders lost, and you know what I'm going to say. You said the tears of our sorrow of today are the garden for our future of prosperity. And I was like, what the hell is he talking about? Can we get a translator down there? Nobody'd ever talked like that before, Stevie. So I just kind of think you're a little ahead of your time is what I think.
Well, you know, I see some of the guys now and the moves that they're making. You talked about athletes, you know, kind of changing the narrative, right? I think that that's true. Maybe I was ahead of my time. And I know that there's fans that love me to life. Like, they just connected with my energy and how I played and the community stuff. And then there was other fans that hated the fact that I celebrated and played with so much passion. So, you know, at the end of the day, out of 100% of the people, right, 25% will love you, but they can be persuaded to hate you. 25% of the people will hate you, but can be persuaded to love you. 25% will hate you no matter what you do, and 25% will love you no matter what you do. But the moral of the story is that you can't please everyone. So I don't try to anymore.
Good. Yeah, good. Good. By the way, a longtime friend of yours, you've known him longer than I have. Jack Fulton's watching in Vulcan, Alberta, and he says, love Stevie Bags. Great to watch Stevie continually growing into his calling. A great example to young players to have a game plan for life after football. Proud to have Stevie on the LCD USA Board of Directors. That's the Life Choice Dynamics.
I love Jack.
So when did you realize that football wasn't going to last forever and you better start getting a plan?
I'd say by the time I was in Winnipeg in 06, and I had been on the practice squad, living in my Range Rover before the Sackos gave me a chance to board at their home. By that time, I had already been the thing that Wikipedia left out is the NFL Europe. So Frankfurt Galaxy. So, you know, I'd done Detroit Lions, you know, then Frankfurt, then Jacksonville Jaguars, then, you know, Winnipeg. And so at that point in time, I'm like, you know, I have to do something a little different. And when you're young, you think you're going to play forever. We hear that all the time. But at the end of the day, I just started trying to wrap my mind around what it is that you're going to be remembered for when you're done playing. Now, you want to be remembered to be a Hall of Famer or a champion or you know, an all-star or what have you. But at the end of the day, most people are going to remember you for how you impacted their life. I just got a message the other day that blew my mind. Someone from Saskatchewan, I forgot who it was, I spoke somewhere in Saskatoon, and this young man, I took a picture with him. We had words, the parents were there, and it was just like the biggest thing. It was when I was something to be talked about in Saskatchewan, right? 09. And so from 09 to now, this young man and his family saw me on Cobra Kai. And it's like, thank you so much for doing what you did back then. We loved you then. We love you now. And so those are the things, right, that, you know, really make you feel like what you do is meaningful, right? It has substance. So, you know, that's what I can attribute. And those are the good things that you want to be remembered for.
That's the good thing about getting a little older, because it takes a while for those things to come around. You don't really necessarily see it at the time, right? But so we're all dying to hear about the Cobra Kai. Johnny Lawrence, how did it come to be?
So Rod, let me just first say this. I'm on a show right now where I'm a series regular. It's called Ruthless. It's a Tyler Perry show. It's really big. It's on Amazon Prime, and it's on Apple TV and BET Plus. All right, so folks, go check that out too. It's an amazing show called Ruthless. I had to plug that show. But, you know, I shot Cobra Kai in 2019. It just came out now. I have another TV show that I shot in 19 called The Underground Railroad. Barry Jenkins and Brad Pitt are the producers of that show. But once again, in television film, you can shoot something and it could come out in 2 or 3 years later. And I didn't even know when it was coming out. My manager calls me. She's like, Stevie, I think Cobra Kai is going to drop. And I'm like, okay. I didn't even recognize, to be honest, how big Cobra Kai was. I'm a huge Karate Kid fan, but I wasn't a Cobra Kai guy, right? And man, I've to be a series regular on a show and nobody really talk about it, and to have one small speaking role on Cobra Kai, and everybody's like, "Oh man, it's Cobra Kai!" And I'm like, you know, it was just funny, man. Funny.
Well, some say if there is a force behind the pandemic, it might be Netflix, because I wouldn't have watched Cobra Kai or Tiger King or any of these shows, because I'm out doing stuff right, like you, but we can't. So I'm home streaming, and who comes across my screen but Stevie Bags Jr.? So good. I'm so proud of you, Stevie. By the way, you can tell me about Stevie Bags Sr.? Because when you were playing here, tell me about Stevie Bags Sr.
So, I mean, you know, my dad, you know, it's Pops, man. I mean, at the end of the day, he was a great athlete. But he got my mother pregnant when they were in high school. And his senior year, as opposed to him leaving to go, he had scholarship offers to go play. And as opposed to him leaving, he stayed and he worked, and him and my mom got married. And so, you know, his football dream never came to fruition, but, you know, mine did. And now, man, I have cousins that are one cousin that plays for the Giants, RJ McIntosh. And then another, he has two younger brothers, one at Washington State, Deion McIntosh, and then Kenny McIntosh plays for UGA. Kenny's named after my grandfather. And so, you know, to have cousins, and I have a stepbrother that plays at University of Houston, and to be the first person in my whole family to even go to college, let alone get a chance to play pro football, and to now have everyone in their respective places kind of following that, you know, that path is tremendous. And I have an opportunity to give them information that I didn't have, because now, like you said, being older, you recognize that money is not power and education is not power, but information is power. And if you have good information, you have good power. But if you have bad information, you have bad power. And so for me to recognize that and to be able to impart that in someone else, whether they listen or not, I'll still plant the seed and hopefully, you know, it manifests.
I've probably interviewed you 10, 12 times, and I'm just getting all my questions out now that I've never been able to ask you before. And one was about Stevie Bags Sr. I wanted your take on players just wanting out, because it's not new, and you played in an era where players didn't speak up. If you did, bonk, or you're outright cut, you know? So how do you feel about players that are that have a voice now and aren't putting up with the direction of a team if they're not happy?
Well, I got to say this. My dad, I speak to him every day to this day, man. So shout out to my pops. But as far as players speaking out and having more control over their direction or their career, I think it's something that, for me, I'm going to always be pro player because I'm a player, right? But I don't think the fans recognize that, you know, this business is called that. It's a business. And so at the end of the day, and I think I mentioned this the last time I was on your show, sometimes a player can make a mistake and get caught up in going to get the money. Then other players can recognize, well, man, no, I need to go get paired with this team so that I can go win a championship, right? Kind of like what Harden is trying to do. He's trying to cement his legacy because to be a great scorer and never be known to win a championship, that doesn't match with his legacy. But the prefix to contract is con, and we have to recognize that. And the contracts have always really been, especially in football, they're always one-sided for the team. And, you know, you can cut a player, and then he doesn't get any of that money in the contract. You can cut a coach, though, and the coach gets his money, depending on however long the contract was or if they come up with a settlement or whatever. But the players don't get anything. And so I think a lot of the times fans don't recognize that. Like, if they got an opportunity to go work in Saskatchewan, but then they got a raise to go work in Calgary, well, they're going to go probably take that raise if it makes sense. Well, don't be upset at a player that does the same thing just because you love him as a player or you love your team. It's about him, his career, his business, and him making the right decision in his mind for his business.
Gotcha. Con, I like it. People are like furiously scribbling down all your wisdom here. They're saying it from Greg. I know from Greg Klevgaard. Stevie has a great perspective on life. Love it. From Gary Lincoln in Winnipeg. So talented. Donna Berger writes in. Bags is a class act. From Blake Brown. Bro, you're still talked about. How's that make you feel?
No, it really makes you feel good, Rod. I mean, seriously, man. You know, in football, you're only as good as your last play, not even your last game. And so for me, I left no stone unturned as far as how many teams, you know, I played for, and I just kept going and kept trying to get back. But at the end of the day, like I said, people will remember how you impact their spirit, how you impact their soul, their inner man. And so to be able to impact someone's inner being is more important than you know, leading the league in sacks or getting a Grey Cup ring, in my opinion, because, you know, although those memories are great, I think the most important memories are the ones that are on the inside, not the ones that, you know, without.
Micah always watching, and he is a young linebacker with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. He watches almost every day from Galveston, Texas. He says, I got to go look up highlights of Stevie. Ha ha. Learn from a great. How would you describe your spin move, Stevie? Like, you were doing it before anybody else.
You know, I think my pigeon toes helped me. The same reason why people didn't want to, you know, give me an opportunity to get drafted high in the league, I guess, was the same thing that helped me, right? You know, it helped with my quickness. It helped with, but the spin move was something that I had always done since high school, right? Literally. And I didn't really perfected, in my opinion, until I got to the league in Canada, because I was able to work on being just strictly a pass rusher. Like when I was in the NFL, I was dropping back in coverage a lot and things of that nature. So when I was able to just be a straight down lineman and rush the passer, I was able to cultivate, you know, my pass rushing skills, you know, a little more, right, and make them more refined. But the spin move was fun, man. I mean, I used to love it because every old lineman, you know, you think you're going to be a speed guy, speed. And then you kill him with the speed, and then you dip under, and it's the quarterback's right there, right? You're in that throwing lane. So it was always an easier path to the QB.
Well, you could tell those tackles knew it was coming, but they still couldn't stop it because they didn't know when, right? And they're just like, trying to get you. It was great. So, yeah, Michael, when you look up those highlights, not only will you see Stevie in that and his pigeon, you said it, I didn't, but the 09 Riders, I will say, might be the greatest Rough Rider team of all time, and they didn't win a Grey Cup. They should have. That was the 13th man. But just yourself and John Chick, obviously, Scott Schultz for half a year. The Canadian Air Force on offense, Darian in his prime, that might be the greatest Rough Rider team of all time. And not a lot of people argue about that, actually.
My heart still sinks, man. I mean, just thinking about, I remember when they missed the field goal, right? And I turned around and I dropped my knees like, oh, we got a Grey Cup. Oh, my God. Like, oh, my God. Grey Cup. And then you see the handkerchiefs everywhere. And you're like, oh, my God. It was one of the most, you know, people call it roller coaster emotion. And I mean, oh, my gosh, bro. I still think about it to this day. Because to be on three, I played on three Grey Cup teams, and I lost all three. You know, KG got hurt when I was in Winnipeg. He went for the fumble, hit his arm. And then Calgary, we were favorites to win over Toronto, and Toronto just beat the brakes off of us that year. But then the one when I was really, I was a leader on that team. I was a main, person in that locker room to help contribute to those wins that we had throughout the year, and to kind of shut Anthony Calvillo down like we did and not come away with the win was demoralizing, to say the least.
A Rider fan had a heart attack on that C train platform across the street from McMahon. You know where it is, across Crowchild there. When I heard about that, I'm like, I'm not surprised. There was only one. I'm surprised.
Right, right. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways.
Exactly. I probably had one too, man.
Jeez. Yeah, exactly. Stevie, we're out of time, but it's always great to see your face and chat. And thanks for putting up with my jokes and good luck with everything, man. I'm glad to see it's going so well.
Rob, one thing we have in common, it seems like we don't age, man. Keep drinking that same tonic you're drinking, brother. You're looking
good. It's something.
Good, man.
It's the universe. It's living right. It's living right. Thanks, Stevie.
Melanin on my side, but I don't know. I mean, yeah,
melanin. Send me some. All right, Stevie Bags Jr. Jeez. Checking in from Hotlanta, Georgia, the hub of the South. We'll be right back with a sports update, and Moose will be back in here too. You're watching the RP Show Tuesday morning get together. Canada's daytime sports talk show continues after this on Game Plus TV.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rob.
Moose DuPont just joining us on the set here late. Hop on in. Sports update. There you go. Look at that.
I was doing arts and crafts. Here.
What's that?
It's for you.
Okay. Shea Weber's goal held up as the game winner as the Montreal Canadiens beat the Oilers 3-1 in Edmonton last night. Goalie Jake Allen made 25 saves in his debut for the Canadiens, who also trounced the Oilers 5-1 on Saturday. It was funny last night, if you're going back and forth on Twitter, somebody late in the game mentioned shutout for Jake Allen, and then they got scored on, and then that guy got trounced for tweeting about it. Come on.
It was his fault.
You didn't cause the shutout. Stop it. I know it's fun to talk about and everything. There's no announcer's jinx. You can't jinx a shutout. You just can't. Jacob Markstrom has back-to-back victories against his former team. Johnny Gaudreau had a goal and a helper, and Markstrom made 25 saves as the Flames beat the Vancouver Canucks 5-2 in Calgary. I feel like 5 days into the regular season, we've learned nothing about anybody other than the Oilers are a hot mess. Other than that, we don't know anything about anybody.
That's right.
Well, the Leafs. Mitch Marner scored twice, and the Maple Leafs beat the Jets 3-1 at Scotiabank Arena. Johnny Tavares also scored, and Frederick Anderson made 27 saves. So Toronto's number one. We know that.
Yeah.
And the Jets were minus Patrick Laine. They're at Ottawa tonight, and I can't imagine Laine's going to play. I wouldn't think.
Yeah, I haven't.
Maybe.
Today.
Maybe.
I don't think so.
And the long wait to learn who will represent Alberta at the National Curling Championship is over. The decision provided some clarity on the wild card front, too. Reigning Alberta champions Laura Walker and Brendan Botcher will wear provincial colors once again. Sixth-ranked Kevin Cooey of Alberta will get one of the two wild card spots based on the final 2020 domestic rankings. Fifth-ranked Mike McEwen of Manitoba gets the other. This sports update for Ballers, Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination, located in the heart of the Dewdney Strip, and for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. Jennifer Illingworth says, another stellar performance by the Edmonton Peewee Sea Oilers. Man, we suck. Agreed.
I was thinking, They're playing? I thought they weren't allowed to play.
Yeah, the Pee-wees?
Yeah.
Roger Yee in Calgary says, morning, Rod Squad. Have a great day. Thank you, Roger. You too. And from Todd Pinkney, Carolina-Nashville game postponed tonight due to COVID, as per Pierre LeBron. Text line, Prairie Mobile text line from Brian in Curtis, Ontario. I listened to your show on Spotify. I'm behind a few shows, but I was listening to hour one from Thursday. I was hearing about how your sticker should be on NHL refs or WHL team helmets. What about having the RP show sticker on the Edmonton Elks helmet? What do you think? What happens first? A CFL team in Halifax, Bo Levi appears on this show, or RP show stickers are on helmets of any team? Yeah, and your mind just kicked into overdrive.
I know.
Thanks for listening all the way out in Curtis, Ontario, which incidentally is the home of Ricky Foley.
Wow, good.
So, Clark, we're having some fun with this. He edited it down. This is NFL Network's Will Blackman on our good friend Julie Stewart Binks' show, Drinks with Binks. I was with the Rough Riders when Will Blackman came through. We all remember he was a pretty big name. He'd won a Super Bowl. He only lasted one game, got hurt, and that was the end of it. This was him about his Saskatchewan experience with JSP.
It is the Green Bay of Canada. It's the exact same thing. It smelled like farm and manure. Everything was flat. They had all chain restaurants, and they loved their football team, who was also green. So that's exactly what I said.
That's great. And it's just a little bit different. That's all. But hey, still the same passion. It's like great insane passion there, right?
Yeah. So sold out every game. Everybody's super nice. If you play for the Rough Riders, they love you. So it was cool. People were really nice in Canada. The people were nice. The coaches weren't nice.
Well, that is a tale for another time, I believe.
Boom, 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 boom. Thank you, JSB, for sending that to us from New York this morning. Sent her a note, and she sent it to us promptly. So people, I saw the clip, and I was not offended. And then 3 Down Nation turned it into a thing that maybe that the Rider coaches should be offended or we should be offended, being from Saskatchewan. It is flat. It does smell like manure and farm. And yeah, we do love the football team. So if it's true, is it really trolling? Is it really trolling?
We made the choice to be like this. That's how we are day in and day out, right? It's our charm. Yeah. What do we say? Lean into that.
Well, I just say, if it's true, how can you get mad?
Yeah.
And it reminds me of when I stepped off the plane in Austin, Texas, and Houston, both times last year. I know that smell. The ranchers will say, that's the smell of money.
It smells like home.
It smells like home. Texas. I mean, I've never been to Wisconsin. And while I'd like to go, I would only go for free. I'm not sure I would pay to go.
Yeah.
Maybe we smell like Wisconsin, but I damn sure know we smell like Texas, and I'm okay with it because I was raised with it. I'll say this. The first time I went to Dallas, I'm looking around, going from the airport to downtown, going, this looks like Swift Current. Because there's a little more rolling hills around Dallas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, again, smells like manure and farm, flat everywhere, and they love their team. What's there to get mad about?
And they only got chain restaurants. That is changing a little bit.
Yeah. We'll have some fun and be back with more and viewer takeover. And Jermaine Franklin coming up, too. It's the RP Show you're watching on Game Plus Television, live on YouTube daily, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody, to Viewer Takeover. Who is the gentleman from Winnipeg that just checked in? Kenny Rychuk says, good morning from Winnipeg. Good morning, Kenny. I was telling my wife last night, there he is. Good morning from Winnipeg. Rod and crew, hope you enjoy your day. Same to you, sir. My crowning achievement of this section of my life will be when somebody walks into Capital Ford in Winnipeg and buys a car because they are a fan of the RP Show.
Yeah.
That will be my, yes! Right? We're leaning into the Winnipeg thing.
Yeah.
So, Darren said he was doing arts and crafts while we were interviewing Stevie Becks. I didn't know what this was. I opened it up. It's a Toronto Raptors program. And I thought it was some sort of fun thing, like when I said, who are these guys?
Yeah.
But this is their actual roster.
Oh, yeah.
And you made the actual comment off air. You're like, it took me 2 minutes to make this, and teams don't even do it.
They don't.
So what did you say?
Teams don't want to do it anymore, but yet I put it together in 2 minutes. So it's got a logo on it. It's not what I would sell at a game day, but I mean, if I put an hour into it, it would.
It's not the point. What do you need? You need one sheet of paper, which is another reason why I can't work in sports anymore. Because I back in the day when I used to sit in the meetings with the marketing guys and the communications guys and gals, and I'm like, why don't we have a damn program? Like, where'd the programs go? And a guy would look at me and say, our sponsors aren't dying to be in our print materials. It's not about sponsors. It's about fan service. Give them a program. And it's not just the teams that I worked with. I was at a Leafs game, Scotiabank Arena, when it was Air Canada Center. And I'm going all around the concourse. Can't remember who I was with. I go up to customer service.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, where's the programs? We haven't sold programs in 5 years, bro. But we can get you a picture of your first Leafs game if you want. You know, where they put you in the frame?
Yeah.
Why? And furthermore, down the line of those meetings I had with teams, it's all on the phone. You can download it on your phone. Well, if the people would get out of their ivory towers and go down and actually sit in the crowd where the Wi-Fi is slow, and I'm not going to go and try and go to each team's website and have both windows open, why can't you just print off a damn program? Is it that hard?
Yeah.
I was at a Florida Panthers game in Sunrise, Florida. We were sitting in the preferred seating. We'd paid for the tickets to get in there. But they had a stack of game notes right beside the metal detector, the gun detector. So as you're walking in, what? 40 pages of game notes? I spent the first period reading.
I know.
In between roast beef from the buffet. I came back here. And I said to the Pats, I wasn't even working for them yet, you got to give game notes to at least your suite holders, man. They're doing it in Florida. Nobody's asked for it. Because they don't know it's a thing.
Yeah.
Or am I completely out of touch? Maybe that's what it is.
No, it's the personal touch. It's that above and beyond. The, you know, unexpected. In our business, it's funny. And this comes back down to, I got this lesson from Peter Labardius when we were doing Western Hockey League games together on television, and we'd show up at the morning skate, and we'd be like the only ones at the skate,
yep,
the game day skate with a coffee, and then all of a sudden the coach would come over, and we'd have this great 20-minute conversation and get all this inside info, and he said, people notice when you show up when you're not expected to.
Lou said that?
Yeah, and it stuck with me, and it's the same thing with this. The fans will appreciate things that aren't expected, these little extras that aren't expected.
Right.
And they're not going to ask for it because they don't even know it's a thing.
That's my point.
But they'll appreciate it.
And I'm tired of fighting with these guys because there's more of them than me.
I know.
I'm the dinosaur and I'm losing. William May says, programs I miss, especially when the CFL had them at their games. Don Mitchell says, it's online. It's online is the response of the lazy and the unimaginative. Colin in Ottawa, I do miss the old paper programs we got when we got to the Sens games. Glossy paper with players' birthplaces. Oh, you wouldn't want to actually let the fans know about your players. You know what I mean?
I know.
So, and by the way, not every team's that way. A lot of teams do programs, but a lot of teams don't. Joe Lazito on Long Island says, I love this topic, Rod. I treasure the old programs, yearbooks, guides, and game notes that I've saved over the years. We're going to continue the fun over into hour two when we go to national television on Game Plus, everybody. Jermaine Franklin's going to be with us. And more of what you just sat through for an hour. See you on Game Plus after this break. No laughing on the sponsor's couch. This is the media. We're not supposed to have fun.
Yeah, exactly.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.